made wise unto salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15 And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, after the council in Jerusalem, Peter, James, and John agreed to confine their ministry and message of the kingdom strictly to the circumcision, as Paul points out in the book of Galatians. Galatians 2:9 And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So after that meeting, they returned to Antioch, in Syria, and some time later, Paul chooses Silas, and goes back through the regions of Galatia, to all the churches he had preached to at the time of Acts chapter 13 and 14. It says, Acts 15:36 And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. Now I suspect that the main reason Paul would want to go and do that would be to see how they do, as far as the doctrine which was committed to him. In other words, the issue that caused Paul to write the Galatian letter, that of legalism, circumcision, and the law of Moses, that the Galatians were being subverted with. Paul called it another gospel, and religion assumes that Paul means a false gospel, but that is simply not the case. The other gospel in the book of Galatians is the time past message of the gospel of the kingdom preached by Peter and the 12. Galatians 1:6 I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Galatians 1:7 Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul said they were perverting the gospel of Christ. It involved working righteousness in a sanctification unto salvation maintenance situation. It was a time past message, and it is also a future tribulation message. It is an abiding in the vine, if situation. Before the why of the cross was revealed by the Lord to Paul, there had been a time past message, preached by Peter at Pentecost. And, Jewish kingdom saints, which believed, according to Luke's account in Acts 15 had tried to persuade people to put themselves back under the law of Moses. Acts 15:5 But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying, that it was needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So the end result of that meeting was that the kingdom apostles, James, Cephas, and John, had agreed to confine their message to the circumcision. Their message was mainly to convince the Jews that Jesus is the Christ that was promised in Scripture, and that Israel should believe in him and identify with him, in water baptism, looking for his second coming, and the restoring of the promised kingdom to Israel. They were under the law. But Paul said that whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. So trying to keep the law for salvation for those Galatians, was to be fallen from grace. So Paul wants to go back to Galatia and see how they do. So he chooses Silas, and they go, and in Acts 16 they come back to Derbe, where Paul had preached before. Acts 16:1 Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and, behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. So Timothy was a disciple already, when they got back to Derbe. No doubt, he had become a believer during Paul's first trip. So Paul takes Timothy with him and you later find Paul and Silas and Timothy in Macedonia, and in Corinth. That all occurs in Acts 16, 17, and 18. But 2 Timothy is probably Paul's last book and it was probably written just a short time before his death. In it, he tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:7 I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And that phrase there, the faith, is very specific, and because of it, Paul writes in 2 Timothy that all that are in Asia were turned away from Paul. That is the beginning of all the religious confusion that exists in the religious system today. Men began to turn away from the pure grace message committed to Paul by the risen and glorified Lord and they began to mix the kingdom message with the grace message. They blended law and grace, and even the earliest writings of the so-called church fathers show that even from the first century, the pure message of salvation by grace alone through faith alone which was committed to Paul, was being corrupted and blended. And so it has been down through the centuries. So the faith, I have kept the faith, has a special meaning. So in his last letter, Paul writes to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:10 But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. 2 Timothy 3:11 Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. 2 Timothy 3:12 Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:13 But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:14 But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. 2 Timothy 3:15 And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now some people try to take that verse and prove to you that all salvation is the same. It is all the same, Genesis through Revelation, and there is only one gospel, and that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God never changes. Well, it's true that Jesus Christ is the same and that God never changes. Hebrews says that Jesus Christ is the same. Hebrews 13:8 Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. The Bible also says that God never changes. Malachi 3:6 For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now he could have just put them out of existence, and wiped out the whole thing, and just reversed the whole thing and obliterated it. He could have started over, or just forgot the whole thing, but he said I change not, and Jesus Christ is the same forever. But that's not what Paul is talking about here. 2 Timothy 3:15 And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now Timothy is a half-Jew. His father is a Greek. But his mother, must have taught him the Hebrew scriptures, in other words, the Old Testament, which Paul says is able to make thee wise unto salvation. He doesn't say that the Hebrew scriptures are able to save him, but to make him wise unto salvation. Being wise and knowing and memorizing a lot of verses, or the whole Bible, for that matter, is not salvation. Why? Because salvation is by faith. All salvat lion, Genesis through the book of Revelation is by faith. The just shall live by faith, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Not that Old Testament scriptures save you, or that salvation can be found in the Old Testament scriptures, but they are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through what? Through faith. Notice it doesn't say salvation by faith. It says salvation through faith. There is a big difference in salvation by faith and salvation through faith. Now I want you to think about this for just a minute. How does Paul say that you, in the body of Christ, are saved? By grace, through faith. That is a very specific statement. Look carefully at the verse. Ephesians 2:8 For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So then, the gift of God, in the verse is salvation. And that is in one accord with Romans. Romans 6:23 For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some people want to claim that the gift is faith. They say they are regenerated at some point in time before they are saved so that they then can have faith, so faith is the gift. But it's plain to someone who believes their Bible that salvation is the gift, eternal life, is the gift, not faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. Now I want you to think carefully about something. There are some more people in the Bible who are saved in exactly the opposite way. By faith through grace. When I started checking this out, this thing just leaped off the page at me and I just said wow. The exact opposite. Only in the dispensation of grace are you saved by grace through faith. Peter, James, and John, the water-baptized Pentecostal Jews, and everybody else in the Bible are saved in exactly the opposite way, by faith through grace. Now remember what we are looking for. We are looking for how the Holy Scriptures can make us wise unto salvation. In other words, it won't save us, what we find in the Scriptures won't bring us into salvation. But according to Paul, the Old Testament Scriptures should make us wise unto salvation, through faith. Not by faith. See it? 2 Timothy 3:15 And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And like I said, when I saw this I had to say wow, now there's a light bulb moment. We are saved by grace through faith. Everybody else in the Bible is saved by faith through grace. Let me show you something. Romans 3:28 Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Justified by faith. But whose faith is it? Well, it's not your faith. It's the faith of Christ. Galatians 2:16 Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. If you are still hanging on to one of those new, easy to understand translations, I suggested you get rid of it. You've got a book, and you need a Bible. Go back to Romans again. Romans 3:28 Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 3:29 Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Romans 3:30 Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith. See it there. It is one God which shall justify the circumcision how? By faith. And the uncircumcision how? Through faith. We are justified by grace through faith. They are justified by faith through grace. Look at it. Look at what Peter says. Acts 15:10 Now therefore why tempt ye God, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Acts 15:11 But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Peter believes, and the whole Jewish Kingdom Church believes that they shall be saved through grace. It is by their maintaining their faith, by faith, and enduring to the end that they receive the grace. We are already saved by grace through faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, who endured unto the end for us, or in our behalf. Their faith is on trial. They are saved by faith, if their faith endures, and it is through grace. 1 Peter 1:13 Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when Paul told Timothy that the Holy Scriptures were able to make him wise unto salvation through faith, it got me to thinking. And, I thought about prophecy, the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. And I said, no, that's not it, because the prophets never spoke about salvation by grace. The grace message was only revealed to Paul. So prophecy can't be it. It can't be what Paul was talking about because they didn't even know about the church, the body of Christ. They didn't know about the what, or the what manner of time. Look at what Peter said. 1 Peter 1:9 Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. They will receive the end of their faith, in other words by faith, by an enduring faith unto the end of their faith will be the salvation of their souls, through grace. The opposite of our salvation. Now read on. 1 Peter 1:10 Of which salvation, and he is talking about his salvation, by faith. By his enduring faith, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace, by faith through grace, that should come unto you. 1 Peter 1:11 Searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow. So you can see that the Old Testament prophets knew about and they prophesied about, the sufferings of Christ, and also the glory that should follow. As a matter of fact, in all of the prophecies about Jesus Christ, any time you see the sufferings written about, you always see the glory immediately after that. Sometimes a prophet speaks about the glory of the Lord. Isaiah does. Isaiah 6:1 In the year that King Uzziah died I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So Isaiah has a vision of the glory of the Lord and he writes about the glory. But any time you see the sufferings of the Lord, the glory immediately follows. So it says the prophets searched, diligently. They prophesied of the grace that was coming to Israel, in other words the glory at the second coming. And they could see the sufferings and the glory. But they never understood the what. In other words what it meant. What did the sufferings of the Lord mean? And what manner of time did the Spirit signify between the sufferings, and the glory to come? They simply didn't know. The why of the cross was only revealed to Paul. So Peter, as we read, does not have salvation by grace, he is looking for grace, enduring for grace by faith. But Paul says, wise unto salvation through faith, and I thought of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 has a capsule of history and there is a lot we can learn there. Hebrews 11:1 Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you have faith in God's promises you have substantial faith. In other words you have a spiritual substance, called faith. It is not something that you can see, but yet it is real. You can't see faith, you can't reach out and touch it. You can't smell it, faith has no odor. There is no taste to it. You can't determine how much or how little faith you have by goosebumps. Faith is not feelings. In other words you might say you feel that there is a possibility of such and such, but that's not faith. Faith is a substance, a spiritual substance. And faith always has an object. It always focuses on an object. So it is evidence. People say that some type of religious experience is evidence. Like the evidence of speaking in tongues. But speaking in tongues is not faith, and it also is not a sign that you have faith. Faith has no signs. People who walk in faith do not walk by sight. The assurance, the faith itself, is the evidence. Now we know how we get faith, right? How do we go out and acquire faith? Do you go to some religious meeting somewhere, and do things or say things in order to get some faith? No. Do you go forward and pour out all your cares, or seek God at some altar somewhere to get some faith? No. Well, this evidence, this substance, how does it come? Romans 10:17 So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you hear the word of God, faith comes. You either have it, or you don't. You ask somebody, do you believe the Bible? And they say, well, of course I do. Well, do you believe the virgin birth of Christ? Well, I need to study on that one. Do you believe that Christ died for all your sins? Yes, if I repent and ask him to. When did God ask you if you thought it would be all right if he made Christ to be sin for you, so that he could die on the cross for all your sins, and be raised again for your justification? So people that have faith, are people who believe God. They take God at his word and they take his words at face value. 2 Corinthians 5:19 To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that unless I repent of my sins and confess my sins then God holds them against me until I do. Well what if, you had just committed a whopper of a sin, the biggest sin you have ever committed in your life, about 10 minutes ago, and suddenly wham, you get hit by a big diesel truck, and you are a goner. Well, you just have to leave things like that up to God, you know. People with an attitude like that don't have faith. They don't believe God. They are not taking God at His word. They are doubting the word of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Well, that's just your past sins. Well, how many of your sins were past in AD 33? That's when Christ died, for your sins. All of your sins were future, over 1900 years into the future when Christ died. When He died, how many of your sins did He not die for, according to Scripture? 1 Corinthians 15:3 For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:4 And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We live in the age of grace, and God would have all men to be saved, on the basis of those verses, right there, Christ died for our sins. The wages of sin is death, and the verse says that Christ died. He took the payoff that you deserved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But like I said, this age, this period of time in which we are living right now, is the only time in all of history that salvation has been by grace alone through faith alone. And when it says through faith, it's not talking about your faith, it is speaking of His faith. The faith of Christ. Through His faith. By the grace of God, through the faith of Christ. But when the church is gone, caught up to be with the Lord, it is no longer that way. It was not that way in the past and it will not be that way in the future, after the church leaves this world. In the past, and in the future, salvation is by faith through grace, by enduring to the end. Let's look at it in Hebrews. Hebrews 11:2 For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now when you obtain something, you do something in order to obtain it. Hebrews 11:4 By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel brought gifts to God. He did it by faith. He believed in the blood sacrifice and that's what he brought. Cain brought the works of his own hands. They both brought things. But Abel brought what the Lord had said to bring, a blood sacrifice, and God respected Abel's offering. Look at Noah. Hebrews 11:7 By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now look at what it says. It says Noah, by faith, being warned of God. In other words, God said something, Noah believed it, and acted accordingly. Romans 10:17 So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now as you can see, all salvation, Genesis through Revelation is by faith. You must believe God. You must take God at His word. God said it, and they acted on it. All salvation is by faith, but not all by grace through faith. Salvation in the past, salvation in the future, is by faith, and it includes works of faith. You do something in order to obtain grace. Look at another example, in the book of James. James 2:25 Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. James is talking about a woman, in Jericho, when the men of Israel went in to spy out the land. As a result of her act of faith, her life, and the life of her family was saved, when the walls of Jericho fell and the city was destroyed. So all the way down the list in the Hebrew Faith Hall of Fame verse after verse says, by faith. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Moses. But, there is something else there, and it is through faith. Look at verse 11. Hebrews 11:11 Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now did Sarah's faith bring something into existence? Could she just speak her will into existence like a word of faith preacher claims, and cause herself to have strength to have a child, when she was childless all her life, she was barren, and she was 90 years old? Absolutely not. The birth of Isaac is through faith. Whose faith do you think it was? Genesis 18:11 Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Genesis 18:12 Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Genesis 18:13 And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Genesis 18:14 Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So God told him what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, and that he would return and Sarah would have a son. By the way, the name, Isaac, literally means laughter. So it was through faith. Whose faith? The faith of God. Romans 3:3 For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? There was a purpose in the birth of Isaac. Isaac was a type of Christ. The great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of Christ, after the flesh. It was going to happen. God is faithful. Galatians 4:28 Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. It had to do that God made a promise, before the foundation of the world. He promised eternal life. Now he promised eternal life to somebody who was there? Who? God the Son. God the Father promised God the Son, that if he would come down and die for our sins, that he would raise him from the dead and he would have eternal life. So Jesus Christ endured to the end in our behalf, absolutely faithful that God would raise him from the dead. Raised for our justification. Proof that we are forgiven and accepted in the Beloved. In Christ. Now. Hebrews 11:24 By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Hebrews 11:27 By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:28 Through faith he kept the Passover, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. He kept the Passover which was the type of the shed blood of Christ. Israel was to keep the Passover on the 14th day of the first month in all their generations, and it says he kept it through faith. God's faith. Moses had faith that God was faithful to do what he said. God had told Moses to tell Pharaoh, Let my people go, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and it was the faith of God, God's faithfulness that delivered them from bondage, parted the Red Sea, fed them manna for 40 years, and their clothes didn't lose a stitch and their shoes didn't wear out. How long do your shoes last? Romans 3:3 For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Those unbelievers mumbled and grumbled about any and everything and wandered around in the desert for 40 years and not one of them entered the promised land except two men who kept the faith, Joshua and Caleb. The rest died in unbelief. But God remained faithful and Israel crossed over Jordan and went into the land. Hebrews 4:6 Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. The unbelievers didn't make it, but that didn't stop the faith of God, because God is faithful and it was through faith, the faith of God that other things happened. Hebrews 11:32 And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Hebrews 11:33 Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Hebrews 11:34 quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Hebrews 11:35 women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. All of those people endured to the end by faith, that through faith they might obtain a better resurrection. So God's promises began to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. God confirmed those promises again to Isaac his son. Later, God confirmed those promises to Jacob, his grandson. The mouth of all the holy prophets spoke, confirming the promises of God. Through the faith of God they will come to pass. Romans 15:8 Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So Paul says. Romans 11:26 And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Romans 11:27 For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Romans 11:28 As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. Romans 11:29 For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So the gifts of God, the kingdom, the land, the priesthood, the service of God are all without repentance, and the calling from the call of Abraham, all without repentance. God will not change his mind and God is faithful. So if the scriptures make you wise to anything it should be unto the fact that salvation is through the faith of Christ, because he is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:7 Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. 2 Timothy 2:8 Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. We know what Peter's hope and calling is. We know why Christ was raised from the dead, according to Peter's gospel. God is faithful to fulfill his promises to Israel and give them their land, their kingdom, and their king, upon the throne of David. Isaiah 9:6 For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But Jesus Christ was also raised from the dead for another reason, according to Paul's gospel. Let's read it as if it is written directly to us, because, in fact, it is. Ephesians 1:15 Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. Ephesians 1:16 Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Ephesians 1:17 That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1:18 The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1:19 And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Ephesians 1:20 Which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1:21 Far above all principality, and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Ephesians 1:22 And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Ephesians 1:23 Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 2:1 And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:2 Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2:3 Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Ephesians 2:4 But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Ephesians 2:5 Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Ephesians 2:6 And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:7 That in the ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.